Well, I'd like to start by thanking and acknowledging my co-authors, Jack Batchelor, Philip Roberts, Jeremy Green, Michael Towles, Dan Mott, Dan Roberson, and John Van Dyne. Stink bugs can reduce yields and cotton quality. I'm sure y'all have heard that over and over seeing many of these presentations here this week. The stink bugs have continued to increase as pest status. It's infested 6.5 million acres last year, or in 2006, destroying 151,000 plus bales across the U.S. In North Carolina alone, it's estimated that they reduced, or bale loss was around 51,000 bales. South Carolina was estimated at 20 plus thousand bales, and Georgia, 25,000 bales. Some previous work by Batchelor and et al. Suggested that bowls 3.5 weeks old or larger than an inch and a quarter in diameter were safe from stink bug damage. Their same work also suggested, along with some other work that we've seen presented here today by Dr. Green, that a dynamic threshold may be justified and where we protect a shorter window during the middle of the growing season and increase our thresholds at the beginning and end. Most of this data that Batchelor et al. Came up with was conducted under a progressive spray environment. We had a nice relationship with this. We decided we wanted to continue on and look at it in a different manner. So we kind of decided to evaluate this relationship between stink bug pressure and yield under a regressive spray treatment. So to do that, we had a series of 7 regressive spray treatment tests, 2 in North Carolina in 2006, and again 2 in North Carolina in 2007, 2 in Georgia in 2007, and 1 in South Carolina in 2007. Now the way we set this up, this is an example of our field trial here, and this would be our first rep. We had an untreated check, and in the first week of bloom, we sprayed all the other plots. 2 weeks after bloom, we came back, we pulled one plot out, and sprayed all the rest of the treatments. So that just this one treatment received one treatment at the beginning of the season and nothing for the rest of the season. Again, the next week we come back and pulled out another plot, so that way that plot only received 2 sprays for that entire year, spray the rest of them. We continue this until we got down to one plot that received 7 spray treatments throughout the year. I'll just make a statement here. Like I said, this is the regressive spray treatment. What we had previously done was the progressive, where we started out with an unsprayed check, came in 1 week after bloom, and added a plot. The next week, added an additional plot, and continued to add plots throughout the growing season. So, just prior to bowl opening, 25 randomly selected bowls per plot, giving us 100 per treatment, were assessed internally and deemed damaged if any internal warts, stained lint, or combination of the two were found. At the end of the season, the middle 2 rows from all treatments at all locations were mechanically harvested and weighed to determine yields, with the exception of our North Carolina Perquimans County site, which in 2006, 10 row feet were hand harvested per plot. That yield data was taken and subjected to ANOVA and the mean separated by LSD. So far, this is all the data I have on the year-end bowl damage. Our other cooperators and co-authors have their bowls still in the freezer, and they're just swamped. I know they'll get to them as soon as they can. But looking at this, we see that in North Carolina, we had what we call decent stink bug damage. We're looking at over 20% for those locations. However, in personal communication with my other co-authors down farther south, they related to me that they had very light stink bug pressure last year. So if we start looking at this yield data, I went ahead and compiled all the locations together and looking at the mean cotton lint yield, 40% pounds per acre for each treatment here on the x-axis. We see that there's no statistical difference for any of the spray treatments. However, we do see a numerical trend where later on, at 4 plus treatments, we see a slight increase numerically. Now, getting into kind of each location on their own, I'm going to take a second to explain this graph as it'll be used for the next several slides. Up at the top, we're going to start with our yield difference between our most protected plot versus our untreated. You can see for North Carolina Quemens in 2006 that we actually produced more cotton in our untreated check than we did in our most protected plots. As we dive into the graph, on our x-axis, we're looking at the week of bloom. If I haven't confused you enough with this regressive idea, you can see this is kind of going backwards on our x-axis. As we're looking at the data, we're trying to think of it as working backwards, I guess, whereas with the progressive spray test, we were working forward. So that's why you see this kind of in a backwards order here. And what this is the difference, either gain or loss in yield, between these weeks of bloom. So you can see, really what I wanted to show here is that there is a great amount of variation between the weeks. There's no real pattern that shows up to where we can say we gained or consistently lost based on our sprays on this week. Now as we look at another location, the edge cone location, again, starting with our yield difference, we see that for this one, we gained 2.9 pounds of lint in our most protected plot versus our untreated. Again, we dive into our graph, we see there's really no rhyme or reason. No patterns are showing up to us. For another location, 2007, the procurement slide again, we look at our treated versus untreated. This time we actually gained 30 pounds of lint in our most protected plot versus our untreated. But if we dive in and look on a week per week basis, whether we gained or lost, again, no real patterns, just a lot of variation. For our Wayne County 2007, we actually saw some good increase here in our most protected plot versus our untreated by gaining 222 pounds of lint. However, going in and looking on a week per week basis, again, great amount of variation. Moving down to our Georgia site, here we only gained, or actually lost, 10 pounds of lint in our most protected plots versus our untreated. You look at week to week, no pattern, just a lot of variation. We move to our Tifton site. We actually gained, again, a good amount of lint in our treated plot versus our untreated. And this really is our best pattern that we see because we only have one site where we, or 1 week where we gained something. The rest were all losses. I think looking at this really helps to show, too, in discussing with Michael Towles, whose site this was, he said he had really low bug pressures. And it, I think it's showing after that one treatment early on, he's knocked down the bug pressure and never got anything back to compensate or to for us to really get value out of our additional sprays. Look at Jeremy's site in South Carolina. Here, he ended up with his untreated check doing better than his treated check. Again, you dive in and look at the week per week gain or loss. It's all over the place. Now, I borrowed this slide from Batchelor et al., in which they had done the progressive spray test. And their data came up and gave us this nice, beautiful pattern across the weeks to where you can see the first couple of weeks, it really didn't pay to go in and spray. However, from weeks 3 through 5, we got a gain on our spray treatments. And then that decreased again later in the season. And really, this is what we were hoping to see, just in a different manner. But as you can see from all our different sites, we weren't even close. Once I averaged all our sites together to try to see if we were even close to that, this is what we got. Again, variation all over the board, no rhyme or reason. I borrowed this slide also from that progressive spray test of Batchelor et al., and it goes to show that this variation isn't uncommon. It's been seen before, and I think this graph does a good job of showing some of that variation, and I'll take a few minutes to explain it here. We'll start up here at the top with the yield difference, as we were looking at before, treated versus untreated. And we have 5 different locations across a couple of years. These red bars are actually 4 weeks in a row of quarter-sized bull damage accounts. Because currently we're looking at a 20% damage bull threshold. So we're looking at this, and we can see for Wayne County that 4 weeks in a row we're above that 20% damage threshold. And in our most protected plot versus our untreated, we were able to gain almost a bell of cotton. In Georgia, we started off with low damage, below damage threshold, but quickly rose to a high amount of damaged bulls. So in this site, with our most protected plot, we actually gained almost a bell and a half versus our untreated check. For Union County, here again, you see 4 weeks in a row where we're above threshold. In our most protected plot, we only gained 8 pounds of lint versus the untreated. So here we're starting to see some of that variation show up. For our Scott County site, man, this really starts to hammer some of that variation that we're seeing. We had 4 weeks where we were above threshold, but yet we did better in our untreated check than we did in our most protected plot. And if you look at the South Carolina data, you see that there was no time that threshold was reached. However, we still gained 106 pounds of lint in our most protected plot versus our untreated. So I think this slide is really good at showing us that variation occurs. So just to kind of conclude, based on personal communications from our other authors who are out in the field, 2006 appeared to be a light stink bug year, with 2007 being even lighter. Our yield data showed a numerical trend toward higher yield with no statistical difference. And then a high variation occurred between cotton lint gained and lost based on weekly spray treatments at all locations across both years. The reverse spray treatment data did no way line up anywhere close to what we saw in our progressive spray treatment. Some of this might be explained by the light stink bug activity that I'd mentioned, but really it's leading us to more questions than answers at this point. Some of these questions that arise is it possible that going in pretty much with a blanket spray that initial week after bloom, did we knock our stink bug population down so much that it wasn't able to resurge and give us the yield data that we were looking for? Another one that I thought of that I didn't write down is going in with these weekly spray treatments of certain compounds, are we influencing something physiologically in the plant that we're seeing this variation in yield in the treated versus untreated based on cotton varieties? So what this is leading us to is we really also need to gain more information concerning impacts of stink bugs at low populations. With that, I'd like to thank the sponsorship for this project. And I'll be happy to take any questions at this time.
We have plenty of time for questions.
All right, thank you.